feel guilty when I spend money or time on myself.
I'll never amount to anything.
I can't say no to others.
I'm not pretty enough.
I don't deserve to be successful.
I can never do anything right.
I have to achieve things so as to get recognition.
I'm a failure.
I don't deserve better.
Hi there, this is Gary Cox. You know, I think most of us at one time or another have had these feelings and maybe even more. And perhaps one of the reasons that you're investigating this program now is maybe you're experiencing some of these feelings presently in your life. They can absolutely ruin our lives and our future. And many times because of these feelings, we feel very empty and unfulfilled. Well, it's now time to change all that with your new program, Self-Esteem, Discovering the Perfect You. And yes, you can have your cake and eat it too. For starters, I want to thank you for getting this program. I am thoroughly convinced that you're going to enjoy it. Now, the goal here, though, is to apply what you learn. And I truly believe that if you apply what you learn, you're going to get incredible results and they're going to come quickly. Now, let me share with you to begin with what you're not to expect from this program. Don't expect a bunch of pump-up rah-rah, oh, you're great, you are beautiful, no, you're not a failure. That stuff doesn't last long and is very short-lived. What you can expect from this program, though, are strategies, step-by-step fundamental principles that will enable you to change your behavior. In many cases, you will be able to do things the next day after completing this program that you may not have been able to do for literally years. You'll discover specifically why or what it is that holds you back from achieving the things that you want to in your life. For example, let's say you want to lose weight and you try and try, but you just can't seem to be successful at it. Or perhaps maybe you want to start a business or any project for that matter, and you get caught up in that yo-yo syndrome. You know what I'm talking about. The start, stop, even though you have every intent in following through successfully, you just don't. One reason this behavior might exist is that there's something in the back of your mind that's blocking you. And if you have the thought that keeps telling you that you're a failure, for example, and you try a new business venture or maybe a career, and you get a little bit of rejection or problems start to come up, things don't go your way, you may immediately associate that you are a failure. Why bother? Then you just quit. Or you might adopt the thought that you don't deserve better, and while you're trying to lose weight, your friends are telling you that you honestly look great. But now you don't believe that you're looking great, and this may even make you feel uncomfortable. Then you reason with yourself, well, I don't deserve to look great, or I don't deserve better, and there goes the new you. It's like driving a car at 60 miles an hour and then shoving it into reverse. 10 steps forward and 20 steps back. You can change these negative thoughts of inadequacy, and when you do, you'll change your future. Bank on it. Now, I do also want to mention to you that later on in this program, you'll actually have the opportunity to listen in on one-on-one consultations that deal with some challenging cases. The reason that I've done this is I want you to see how this information, after sharing it with you, is applied to real people in the real world. This way, you can also get a very in-depth view of how to use these fundamentals in your life. There'll also be a frank discussion about subjects such as rape, incest, and molestation. These discussions, though, are not graphic or in great detail by any means. It's also important that you know that there are some side effects to this program, and I'm not kidding. Upon applying the knowledge in this program, your friends and family will certainly see a great positive change in you. Some of them, though, might feel a bit threatened by the new you, but that's okay because you'll understand how to handle that problem, too. Now, we're going to also have an open discussion about feelings. And that's pretty easy for the ladies to do. You know, women are willing to admit that they don't mind increasing their self-esteem or their self-image. Men, they kind of hide that. Most men feel that they already have great self-esteem, especially for some of those so-called, you know, type A personalities. But if you tell some of these guys something that really ticks them off, oh boy, they're ready to curse you out. And oh, they want to handle it by beating you up. If you criticize them, they can't handle that. Or if you cut them off on the road, you know, by accident in a highway or something, oh, you know what I'm talking about. And that's how some guys handle problems. Women do so much better at this. They are so much more in touch with their feelings because they're willing to share them. they'll talk things out to solve problems. There are times when a bunch of chocolate will really solve their problems. And I'll have to confess, I've used chocolate to solve my problems before too. But women are the best at reading and sizing people up. You ever notice that? All they have to do is look at your shoes and they've got you all figured out. Well, enough about that. Let's go ahead and get started with our program. Go ahead and pull out the workbook that you got with this program. When you open up the workbook, you'll notice there's a number of fill-in-the-blanks and some exercises that I'm going to have you do. It is vitally important that you do these exercises and fill-in-the-blanks. Now, you've got two choices when you write in your book. You can use cursive or you can write in print. What I'd like you to do is make sure you print the information. The reason I want you to print the information, your mind seems to remember information more if you print it as opposed to cursive. And you'll find that obviously it takes a little bit more concentration to print, and that's what you want here in this program. You want to concentrate on it. You want to do everything you possibly can to make sure you take this information with you and remember it. Okay, the next thing that we're going to do now, we're going to go to the top of page one. The top of page one, you're going to see a sentence there, and we're going to fill that in. And it says, self-esteem is a healthy view of myself. Self-esteem is a healthy view of myself. I think that's a pretty good definition of self-esteem, is it not? Here's a question I want to pose to you. The question is, how then have we either developed a healthy or an unhealthy self-esteem? The answer is going to be in the next statement in your workbook, and it's going to give you a great hint. I'll read it to you first, and I'll come back and read it to you again slower so you can fill in the blanks. Here it is. We are the sum total of everything that we've ever experienced from the time that we were born to this very moment. One more time. We are the sum total of everything that we've ever experienced from the time that we were born to this very moment. So what does this really mean? It means that we've really been programmed. Programmed by everything that you can think of. Parents, grandparents, teachers, TV, the music that we listen to, our culture, religion, society, and the list goes on and on and on. So maybe there was something very negative or positive for that matter that happened to you in your life. Some of those things you may remember and others you may not. But these things have specifically programmed us for most of our behavior as we have it or see it today. Perhaps you had something negative happen to you. Maybe you had a teacher in your past that said, oh, you'd amount to nothing, you're no good. Or maybe your parent or a so-called friend said something to you. Well, these things can affect us in the future. How do they affect us? Because of some of the things that we've had happen to us in our past, some of the times we may feel overly shy. Or maybe to hide some of our feelings, we cut other people down. We call them meanie, stupid, you're no good. Maybe we take things very personally. Or maybe we have the thought that nobody loves us. And a lot of these thoughts and actions stem from our past experiences. Why? Because we are the sum total of everything that we've ever experienced from the time that we were born to this very moment. Well, now we're going to go to our first exercise, and that's going to be on page one. And it says there, to list the past experiences that are negative or bad, which are or could be affecting or controlling my life now. One more time, list past experiences that are negative or bad, which are or could be affecting or controlling my life now. So what I want you to actually do is I want you to think back into your past about some of the negative things that have happened to you. And I know for some of you, this may be very difficult because a lot of you have experienced some real major tragedy in your life. But here's a caution, though. As you're writing this information down, try your very best not to get too emotionally upset about it. Try not to go in and get all depressed and crying about it and so forth. And I know for some of you that's going to be very, very difficult because you've been through so much. But we just want to go ahead and accomplish something here by just taking the trash, if you will, that's happened to you in the past. And we want to put it down on paper. And you'll see later on how we're going to deal with that and how it relates to our behavior today. To maybe make you feel a little bit better, I'll share with you some of mine first before I have you stop this program and do this exercise. The first one that I put down was when I was in seventh grade, I had a big bully at school pick me up and throw me in the school pond with other people watching. That was not very good, and it did affect me in the future. Another thing I put down was when I was 17, I got married. Now, I'm not saying that getting married is a bad thing, but in this case, it was pretty bad. My wife and I, we had a baby. Later on, she tells me the baby really wasn't mine. I could not believe that. It felt like somebody had pulled out my heart and rubbed it on a cheese grater. The pain was so intense. Then in the time frame of all this, my father was murdered. My grandfather and stepfather died of cancer. My uncle was killed in a plane crash. I had $30,000 cash in the bank, and I lost all that. I had a $100,000 a year business. I lost all that. And people ask me, Gary, what were you doing as a teenager to make $100,000 a year? Well, I was doing what most teenagers do. I was doing drugs. No, not really. I was not doing drugs. I got started in the jewelry business, but that's a whole other story. We won't get into that. But the bottom line is I've had a tremendous amount of negative things happen to me, and we want to go ahead and identify and see what they are. Unfortunately, everything I did mention to you is not exaggerated, was very true, and I could probably add about 20 more things. Anyway, that's enough about me. I'm sure you have your own saga to write. By the way, if you have more than 10 things on your exercise, go ahead and add more if you need to. Well, now it's time to stop your program and do your exercise. In fact, when I was younger, I learned a song. I don't know if I have it right, but anyway, just to show you how these terrible things can impact me. And by the way, if you can't laugh about the things in your past, you won't learn to enjoy the present and the future. So here's this little song. Like I said, I don't think I have it right, but I used to sing this. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. I'm gonna eat worms, fat worms, skinny worms, bite their heads, suck their guts, and throw their skins away. Enough of page one. Okay, let's go to the next exercise. This one's gonna be a tad more positive. Page two. List past experiences that are positive or good, which are or could be affecting or controlling my life now. One more time, page two. List past experiences that are positive or good, which are or could be affecting or controlling my life now. So let's now take a little bit of time and do the exact same thing for positive experiences. Go ahead and stop your program now. Now that we've completed both exercises, I want to see if something happened to you that happened to me. Now, that doesn't happen to everybody that does this program, but for most people it does. Did you find when you were asked to put the information down on page one, your negative things, did you have like no problem doing that? The negative things just flowed one after another, after another, after another. Then, when I asked you to put the information on page two, did you kind of hesitate a little bit? You didn't have as many things on page two, the positive things, as you do the negative things? Well, that was certainly something that happened to me. Why is that, though? Unfortunately, we allow so many of the negative things to suppress the positive feelings and emotions that we've experienced in our life. I can assure you, you have so many more positive things, but many times the reason that we don't remember it is because of all the negative. For example, if you were to take a movie or a film from the day that you were born to this moment, you could pull out tons of positive things, but unfortunately, we've allowed the negative to win. That's probably one of the reasons you're taking this program. And that's why it's beneficial for me when I go over information like this, because it helps heal my mind, if you will. It's great therapy for me, too. Now, notice the last statement there on page two. It's a very interesting one. You won't be able to understand it until I give you the answers to fill in the blanks. But the bottom line here is when we have all these negative things happen to us, we allow these things to program us. You know, the same statement that I mentioned to you. We are the sum total of everything that we've ever experienced from the day that we were born to this very moment. Friends, there's got to be a point in our life that we say stop. In other words, we can't keep allowing external stimuli to program us. We have to get to the point that we say, wait a minute, I'm going to choose or I'm going to allow this or that to program me. It's my choice. And most people don't ever make a conscious decision in life to do that. So today, I want you to make that conscious decision. Let's do it at the bottom of page two. This blank day of blank. So whatever today's date is, I want you to write it down. This blank day of whatever month and year, I consciously decide, choose, and commit to not allowing other things or people to condition or program me. The choice will be mine and mine only. Let's go over this one more time. I consciously decide, choose, and commit to not allowing other things or people to condition or program me. The choice will be mine and mine only. Now, you may not be able to know how to do that right now, but you're going to learn how to do that in the rest of the program. So are you willing to do this? Are you in? You're the only one that can make this choice. It's a choice, is it not? So if you are willing to do this and you're willing to step up to the plate, go ahead and sign your name on the dotted line, showing that, yes, you today are consciously deciding and you're consciously choosing and you commit to not allowing other things or people to condition or program you. The choice will be yours and yours only. Sign your name now. Well, if you've made that commitment and signed your name, it's only appropriate that we keep going forward. So let's do that. I'd like to invite you now to meet with me on page 3 in your workbook. Page 3, entitled Feelings of Inadequacy. Feelings of Inadequacy. I want to share something with you before we go any further, and it's the following. For every thought we act on, we get a result. For every thought we act on, we get a result. The feelings of inadequacy, this list that we have here in front of you, these are thoughts that are giving us limited results in our life. What we have to do is identify these thoughts, and once we learn to change those thoughts, we get a whole new result. And that's what this program is about, getting new results. So what I'm going to do now briefly on page 3, let's read all 27 of these feelings of inadequacy that you might feel at some times, all right? Number 1, I'll never be as good as so-and-so. That's a popular one, isn't it? Number 2, I don't deserve to be successful. Number 3, I feel guilty when I spend money or time on myself. Number 4, I'm not pretty enough. That's a very, very popular one, unfortunately. Number 4, I'm not pretty enough. Number 5, if I am successful, people will judge me or think less of me. Number 6, I'll always sabotage my success with relationships, work, or pretty much anything I get involved with. Number 7, I can't have my cake and eat it too. Oh boy, we're going to change our thinking on that one. Number 8, I have to live up to others' expectations. Number 9, I don't deserve to be loved. Number 10, I don't deserve better. Number 11, I can never do anything right. Number 12, no one will notice or care if I better myself. Number 13, I'm too shy. What I have to say to others is stupid. Number 14, no one likes me. Number 15, here's a popular one, I can't say no to others. Number 16, my ideas are no good. Number 17, unfortunately, is also a popular one, I deserve it. Physical, mental, or verbal abuse, I deserve it. That's a sad one, isn't it? Number 18, I don't take compliments well. Number 19, I'll never amount to anything. 20, I'm dependent on others. 21, I can't. Just overall in general, I can't. I can't do things. 22, I'm a failure. 23, I'm stupid. 24, I am not worthy. 25, I have to do things for others to feel liked or loved by them. 26, I have to achieve things so as to get recognition. You'll see some people, they're big achievers, and many times the motive or the fuel that runs them to get all this achievement is recognition. Not for the pure satisfaction for themselves, but the recognition that they must receive by being overachievers. Number 27, I feel inferior. I think common sense should dictate to us at this point that if we have any of these feelings of inadequacy, especially on a regular basis, it's going to be very challenging for us to feel totally happy and completely fulfilled. So the key then is for us individually to be able to identify some of these thoughts that affect us and, of course, more importantly, to learn how to change them. Now, you'll notice, too, on page 3 of your workbook at the bottom there, I've given you some extra room in case you come up with some other feelings that I may not have included. So if you have some others, go ahead and put it down on 28, 29. If you have more than 30, go ahead and do that, too. So let me briefly tell you what your exercise is going to be here. If you go to number 1 on page 3, where it says, I'll never be as good as so-and-so, if that applies to you, if you've ever had that thought, either many times or sometimes, I want you to put a check mark in the parentheses there to the right of the number 1. Now, you ask yourself this question, have I had this thought or do I have this thought or this feeling many times? If the answer is yes to many times, to the right of that check mark, I want you to put in the line there, I want you to put the letter A. If it's not many times or just sometimes, go ahead and put the letter B in there. Now let's say you go to number 2. You go to number 2, I don't deserve to be successful. Let's assume that doesn't apply to you. If it doesn't apply to you, take your pen or your pencil and just cross out everything there on number 2. Just take a line all the way through it. Then go to number 3, I feel guilty when I spend money or time on myself. If that applies to you, give it a check mark. Then go ahead and write A if you feel or think this many times, or if it's B for sometimes. I want you now to do the entire exercise 1 through 27. If you have 28, 29, and some others, go ahead and add them to and also give it an A and a B. Go ahead and stop your program and complete this exercise now. Now, the next thing that we're going to do, we're going to take all the A's and we're going to put them all on page 4. And if you need more room, you're going to put them on page 5. Then after we do all the A's, we're going to go ahead and do all the B's. So here's what I want you to do first before we do this exercise. I want you to take a moment while I'm here with you on the program. I want you to take a moment on page 3 and circle all the A's right now. Just go ahead and go down the list and circle all your A's. All right, give you a minute or so to do that. Some of you may only have 3 or 4 or 5 of these. Some of you may have as much as maybe 10, 20. I've seen just about all of them for some people on all the A's. And you can imagine the type of things those people have been through in their life. Okay, you got all the A's circled. So what we're going to do in just a moment here, we're going to take all the A's that you've just circled. We're going to now by hand write and transfer them over to page 4 and 5. When you have that completed, then go back to page 3, and obviously the B's will not be circled. Then I want you to take all the B's and transfer them onto your page 4 and page 5. When you transfer your information from page 3 to pages 4 and 5, notice on page 4 there, once you go to page 4 real quickly, you'll see the number 1. So the first feelings of inadequacy that you put down, then go ahead and put the A beside number 1, and before you write down that feeling, put the number that it matches with on page 3. So if it's the 17th feeling of inadequacy, go ahead and put whether it was an A or B, then put the number 17 and write down the feeling of inadequacy. Okay, that's going to take a little time, so go ahead and take some time and do this now. Stop your program. Well, congratulations. Congratulations for what, you might ask? Well, congratulations because you've now isolated the thoughts that have been screwing up your life. Perhaps you've discovered by now that the information that you just completed here on page 4 and 5 of your workbook, these feelings of inadequacy, somewhat indirectly but more so are directly related to the negative experiences that you had written down earlier on page 1. Why don't you take a minute to look at page 1? Look at those negative or bad experiences that you've had happen to you in the past. Now let's not get emotionally wrapped up in them. Let's just take a brief look at them. All right. Now let's go back to the information that you just wrote down here on page 4, these feelings of inadequacy. My question to you is, can you identify what bad experiences from page 1 relate to which feelings of inadequacy that you've written down here? In other words, you may be able to look at a specific negative experience that happened to you that you'd written down on page 1 and then come back to these feelings of inadequacy that you just wrote down and say, oh yes, this is why I feel this way, because this happened to me when I was 7 or 9 or so forth. The point you want to remember here is that bad experiences crop up their ugly heads years from when they've happened, and they can really affect our future. Remember that the next time you have a tendency to cut down your friend, your spouse, coworker, or child. Now, the positive experiences work the same way, don't they? One of the things that I put down on my positive experience page, which was page 2, was my uncle taking me for a plane ride, and he actually let me fly the airplane when I was about 10 years old. I'll never forget that. Though he's gone now, it's a great memory that inspired me to be a pilot today. So when we do an act of kindness for someone or just leave them with a positive experience, we have no idea how that can impact their life. The moral of the story? Share random acts of kindness with others. You don't know whose life you could influence. Well, we're just about finishing up page 4. On page 4, you'll see the words today's date. You see that there? Today's date. On that line, I'd like you to write down today's date for me now. Go ahead and do that. Today's date. Underneath the date you just wrote down, you'll see some small lines in a vertical column that match each one of your feelings of inadequacy. All I want you to put in that little line is a number. The numbers 1 through 10. I want you to grade each feeling of inadequacy on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. For example, if you have the feeling written down, I'm not pretty enough, on a scale of 1 to 10, how strong is that feeling? If it's a 10, put it down. Then underneath that one, you go to the next feeling of inadequacy. Grade that one 1 through 10. I'd like you to go ahead and do all this now. Stop your program. We have three more columns to be concerned about on page 4 and 5 if you're using 5 also. Three columns for three more dates and three more evaluations. So let's assume that you decided to complete this entire program today. A week from today or a week from whenever you complete this program, you're going to go back to these two pages and you're going to put the date down and then you're going to reevaluate everything again. If you're applying this information and putting it into practice, you should see your numbers start to decrease as you reevaluate yourself. Then a week from that date, you're going to go back into these two pages and put that date down, reevaluate everything, and then you're going to do a third week. So basically, what you're going to be looking for here is a measuring rod to see how well you're progressing. You're going to see today's date, all that information should be pretty high on that scale of 1 to 10. And as you continue with the program, those numbers should dramatically drop. It's time now for the fun stuff. I say fun, but it's also going to be challenging. What we want to do now is get ready to work on changing these behaviors. To begin with, though, what we've done from the beginning of the program to this very moment, we've actually worked on developing a foundation, haven't we? We've been able to identify some of the negative experiences that have happened to us in our past, and then more importantly, how, unfortunately, they're affecting our future, our feelings, our behavior, our moods, and so on. So let's go ahead and start making some changes. So to do that, I'm going to invite you to please turn with me to page 6 in your workbook. Page 6. You'll notice there on page 6 that I have four pieces of paper kind of laid in on that one page. Anytime I work with an individual, whether it be face-to-face or over the phone, I ask them, if I'm going to work with them on changing behaviors or phobias, to pull out for me four pieces of paper. And on page 6 in your workbook, this represents those four pieces of paper. So let's go over them very briefly, and then we'll go into them in great detail in just a moment. So the first one is, I need them to have a goal. What's the specific goal? What specifically do they want to change? So this is where we're going to come and pull out some of these specific feelings of inadequacy. We're going to put them down one by one, and we're going to work on changing each one of them. The second thing on page 2, that is empowering beliefs. We have to change something negative to something positive. Now, you just can't say something negative and then turn it into something positive and expect a change in behavior. It takes more than that. And that's what we're going to be discussing, the details on how to do that. Number 3 there, or page 3 on your page 6 in your workbook, we're going to talk about new positive feelings and experiences. Once you learn to change your behavior, we're going to put you on some mental exercises, if you will, and then you'll see if you do this right and you follow the program, you're going to get a whole new feeling and new behaviors and new experiences. Then on page 4, we're also going to talk about limited beliefs. These are the thoughts that are limiting your progress and your success today. So these are the four things that we're going to be focusing on very heavily in this program. It's time to move to page 7 in your workbook. You'll notice page 7 represents that page 1. Remember, you're going to have a page 1, 2, 3, and 4. So page 8 is your page 2, page 9 is 3, 10 is 4. Those four pieces of paper that we're talking about, we're going to do one piece of paper at a time. You'll notice here that we have two sections. You have the Roman numeral number 1 and the Roman numeral number 2. What we've actually done is we've divided this program and we're taking two feelings of inadequacy from page 3. Remember those 27 feelings of inadequacy that we had? We're going to take two of those and we're going to go over those two in detail throughout this program. So the first one that we're going to focus on page 1, which is page 7 in your workbook, is number 15. So I want you to put the number 15 in that little box or that little parentheses by that Roman numeral 1. And what was the 15th feeling of inadequacy we talked about? It's the one that says, I can't say no to others. Let's write that down. You'll see the fill in the blanks there. I can't say no to others. If this feeling of inadequacy applies to you, you're going to get a lot of great details on how to change this behavior. But let's say it doesn't apply to you. Let's say this is not a feeling that you put down. That's okay. I want you to assume that it is. The reason I want you to do that is because I want you to be able to understand and learn the principles that I'm going to share with you to change this particular feeling of inadequacy. And then when you complete this program, you'll be able to use it for your specific feeling of inadequacy or any other feelings that you might have or may come up later on. We've already put down that I can't say no to others. The next thing that we want to do now is find out what our goal is. You'll see the word goal, G-O-A-L there. What is our goal? Well, it's pretty simple, isn't it? It would be the opposite of I can't say no to others. So what's the opposite of that? The opposite of that would be I can say no to others. So I want you to write that down beside the word goal. I can say no to others. Of course, when we say this, we're not talking about being arrogant and say, I don't have a problem saying no to others. I'll say no to anybody. No, we're talking about being able to do it in a balanced way, saying it and doing it kindly and feeling comfortable about it. So that's our goal. My next question to you is, why, and you'll see the sentence there with a question mark. I want you to fill in the blank here. Why, not should or may, why must I change this behavior? Put the word must in there. Why must I change this behavior? So what would you put down? Why must you change this behavior? Before you write anything down, though, I want to first emphasize to you how powerful it is to have a reason why. Why gives us a purpose? Why you want to do something? You must have a reason why, and you have to have purpose. Let me share with you how incredibly powerful purpose can be in our lives. We have to have purpose. It's a true story about a gentleman by the name of Andrew. Andrew was about 82 years old and was a friend of mine. Unfortunately, though, one day I got a phone call, and the phone call came from the hospital, and I was told that Andrew was sent to the hospital because he only had a couple days to live. My wife and I and another couple immediately went to the hospital. We were there, and as we walked in, there were just tons of roses and get-well cards, the whole nine yards. I was there, and oh, within 30 seconds of being there, Andrew said, I wish I was dead. I just want to die. Now, everybody's looking at me, and they're saying, you know, hey, Gary, it's, you know, say something to the guy. You're the guy. You're the guy with the word. Say something to him. But I knew because of the frame of mind and the state of mind that Andrew was in, there was nothing that I could say, and if I did say anything to him, it'd be like positive thinking, and it wouldn't really change his behavior. I would just give him the same old, oh, Andrew, it's not that bad, hang in there, you know, you've got friends, etc. That wouldn't have done a thing for him. I knew that because of the frame of mind he was in. Unfortunately, I left very unfulfilled, and all I could basically tell Andrew was hang in there. About 2 days later, I got another phone call. This time, the phone call was telling me that Andrew was sent home because that's where he chose to die. Now, I don't know what it was about that phone call, but a light went on in my head, and I think I may have figured out a way to give Andrew a what? Give Andrew a purpose. See, if Andrew had a purpose to live, he'd want to stay alive. It sounds simple, but it makes a lot of sense. But he has to have the purpose. Obviously, if I went into his hospital room and within seconds he's saying, I wish I was dead, he certainly doesn't have a purpose. So after that phone call, that second phone call, I took my wife again and the same couple. We went to Andrew's house and virtually without his permission, we knew him well enough, we ransacked his place. We cleaned the bathroom. We cleaned the toilets. We cleaned the carpets. We cleaned the sinks. And as we were doing that, I walked over to Andrew's room as he was in bed and could barely move. He looked at me with a tear in his eye, and he said, Gary, I never realized that people cared. And I'm thinking sarcastically in the back of my mind, Andrew, what are you talking about? When I went to your hospital room, you had just dozens of flowers and roses and get-well cards. But you see, I realized then that's what we're supposed to do when somebody doesn't feel well. We went beyond the call of duty, and he now knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that people really did care. And all those flowers and all those get-well cards now had a whole new meaning to him. And do you realize that Andrew lived for 3 more years after that incident? Isn't that interesting? Now, I believe we did something that gave him a what? Gave him a purpose. And I figured out, wait a minute, if we could clean the inside of his house and keep him going for another 3 years, I wonder what would happen if we did the outside of his house. So that's what we did. 3 more years later, we went ahead and did the outside. This time we got a group of about 20 people and we scraped the paint off of his house and we put new paint on and we built him a ramp for the wheelchair and we took the weeds out and we put new plants in there and he lived on again for 2 more years after that. And he had the same reaction the second time. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that people cared. Friends, why do I share this story with you? The reason I share this story with you, I want you to see how powerful purpose is. You have to have a reason why you want to change behaviors. Now, I'm going to ask you to write this information down, why you want to change this behavior. Now, you're going to give me a bunch of information. You're going to write this down or that down or whatever it is. But I want you to understand at this point, they're just words on a piece of paper. How are we going to know that you're really serious about the reasons that you've put down here as to why you want to change? Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit too. So why don't we now take a moment here, and I want you to write down why you must change this behavior. What's the behavior? The I can't say no to others. So let's stop the program and do that now. Why I must change this behavior. So what were some of the reasons that you wrote down as to why you must change this behavior? Maybe you put down you're sick and tired of not having control of your life, or you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of it. That's a good reason too, isn't it? Maybe you're tired of losing emotions. You don't have any control. You know, when you're a type of person who can't say no to others, basically you are controlled by two groups of people. The first group is the person or group of people who know you can't say no to them, and they will consciously take advantage of you. You may know some of those people right now. In other words, they know that you can't say no, so they're going to do this, do that, they're going to call you, they're going to have you do all these different things, knowing that you can't handle saying no because you're going to feel guilty, or maybe you're going to feel they're not going to like you anymore, and the list could go on and on. Then you have another group of people who do still take advantage of you, but they really don't mean to. They don't consciously decide like the first group to take advantage of you. Unfortunately, you have programmed them to take advantage of you. So they usually call on you to have you do things or do this or do that. Maybe not as consciously as the first group, but you still have programmed them to do that. Keep that in mind. It's very important. So why must you change this behavior? Make sure your reasons are great. The next question I want to talk about, or the next statement or thought, is I'm often asked the question, Gary, what is your success rate? That's a good question. What is my success rate? Well, the first thing I tell people is that this program is not a pill. It's not a chemical. It's not a pill that they can swallow and alter their brain or alter the chemistry in their brain. The bottom line is it's going to take some effort for you to get results. So what is my success rate? Well, that, and I hate to really sound so simplistic in telling you this, but a lot of it, it's going to depend on you. If you don't want to make change, how can you make change? You've heard it before. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I can lead you to the water. I can't make you drink, but I can show you some really cool, neat techniques to enable you to do that and to enjoy the process. How do I rate my success? Well, it's basically how are you going to rate your success? Let's talk about this in greater detail. Go to page 7 again, still in your workbook. That's your page 1. You remember your page 1 of 2, 3, and 4. And on page 7 in your workbook, you're going to see a graph there, aren't you? You'll see a box. And that box, you'll see a line that goes straight up. Then there's another line there. Underneath that, you're going to see another line that comes all the way back around to the beginning. You'll see a circle in the middle of the box that says negative feelings. Then you'll see the arrows go straight up. And you'll see a nice smiley face. We're going to start everything at the bottom of this box, and we're going to work our way up. As we work our way up, this means we're going to work on changing our behavior. We're going to get to that little circle that says negative feelings. Right when you get to the negative feelings, and you literally feel negative feelings, when you start changing this behavior, you have two choices, don't you? You have one choice to either turn around, do a 180, and go back to where you start and never make change, or you'll go through those negative feelings, be able to look at them behind you, and go forward and change your life and be happier. When you get to the bottom of these negative feelings, what's going to cause you to either stop and say, wait a minute here, I'm not going to give up, I'm going to keep going forward, or what's going to cause you to say, I'm going to throw in the towel and go back? The answer is your reasons or your purpose as to why you must change this behavior. Right now, what you have down are words on a piece of paper. So if you just have words on a piece of paper, I'm just going to assume that's all they are. How are you going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are serious about changing this behavior and you are serious about not having other people control you or not having your emotions control you where you now can control them? You're going to have to put it into action. That's the difference between the men and the boys. There are people who say they're going to make change, then there are people who do it. But I'm going to give you some very powerful techniques to want to create in you the drive and the desire to make the change. So what is my success rate? Well, I'll put a lot of that in your hands. You're going to have a lot to do with it. I can only share with you the strategies, but I'm going to share with you some very powerful ones so you can make this breakthrough and change your life forever. So we don't want to be stubborn in our thinking. And another thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to make excuses. And as humans, you know we like to take the course of least resistance, and it's so easy to make excuses why we can't be successful, why we can't move on. We start saying, well, this happened to me, and that happened to me, and this happened to me, and the list can go on and on and on. And please, I'm not telling you this to minimize the things that you've been through, but there has to be a point in our life, at least I hope there would be, where we have to say, look, enough's enough, I've got to move on. And that's what this whole program is about. It's about moving on, isn't it? Going forward and having the windows of opportunity open to us and the benefits of being happier and more fulfilled. I mean, have you ever driven down the road before? And you ever seen a sign that says, Obedience School for Cats? No, why not? Cats don't want to change. I know, I have 5 of them. The key here is you have to create the desire to change. Don't be like that cat. They don't have obedience school for cats for specific reasons, and the biggest reason is they don't want to make change. Don't be that way. Make change, move forward, and let's keep going. Why? Because yes, you can have your cake and eat it too.